So we also celebrate today, dear friends, the solemnity of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, moved from Thursday to Sunday for practical purposes. And why did Jesus ascend into heaven? He who conquered on the cross, was he still afraid of humanity? Was he just abandoning humanity? Why is ascension important? Why should we actually be proud that our Lord Jesus ascended? Think about it, dear friends. For those who have taken over big, huge jobs, think about taking over that farm from dad. Think about taking over that company from mom. Think about stepping into the role of the CEO. How proud you were that first day when everybody was clapping for the outgoing CEO, for the outgoing general manager, and you were the one stepping into that role. Think about that first day you had your first child. How proud you were to know that things have changed, that you are not just an ordinary man anymore, you are now a father. Not just an ordinary woman anymore, you are now a mother. That is what ascension does for us, dear friends. We are to be proud of this day, because from this day forward, we are the carriers of this immense message to the world. Jesus is leaving us in charge. That is what ascension is. Jesus has so much trust in each and every one of us that he is leaving us in charge of evangelization and proclaiming his message to the ends of the earth, starting with ourselves, our families, our communities, and outwards. And that is why we rejoice. But then, like the disciples, we might be asking the wrong question, because we see from the first reading, even after all these years, they were still asking the wrong question. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And that wasn't what Jesus was all about. It was about a kingdom that goes beyond Israel, the kingdom that we all of us now enjoy. The entire world is talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A whole swath of humanity are living the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the disciples, we could still be asking the wrong question. And what is the wrong question I could be asking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is making me, making you, making all of us the CEOs, the general managers of his great evangelization and message of love to the whole world? I could be asking, am I equipped for this message? Yes, we are, dearest friends. All of us are equipped for this message. And that is why in the second reading, Paul really, really hits the hammer on the head that all of us are not just to do one thing. He said the Lord Jesus has poured through his Holy Spirit. God has poured his gifts on all of us here in this church and beyond. And therefore he equips us for so many different aspects of the work of evangelization. He equips us for so many different aspects of the work of love. So we need not ask, are we equipped? What we need to ask ourselves is, what did God equip me for? What gifts has God poured on each and every one of us? That is the right question. And Paul goes on in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is all about these different gifts. It is all about the different gifts that God continues to give to each and every one of us. He says there are many spiritual gifts, but still the same one Spirit. There are many services in the church, but still the same one Lord Jesus. There are many fruits of the service that we render, but still the same one God who produces all these fruits in each and every one of us. And then he makes the really, really practical argument, reading down from verse 12 downwards. He says, does the body consist of only one part? Not at all. The hands, the eyes, the feet, the everything. That's what makes a body. And he said, the hand should not be complaining. Oh, why am I not a foot? Why am I not a foot? I want to be a foot. And that means the hand will no longer do what the hand is supposed to do, but sit, just waiting to be transformed into a foot when it's already blessed to be a hand. The same goes for other parts of the body. dear friends, what are the gifts that we are sitting on? Because we are looking at other gifts and wishing, oh, I wish I were the one singing out there. But God could be calling you to be an usher. Oh, I wish I were the one serving at Mass. God could be calling you to serve with the CWL. Oh, how I wish I were one of these Eucharistic. God could be calling you to be a lector because you can project, you can read, and people will understand. Remember the parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25. The one servant who did nothing was because he was busy looking at the master. He didn't recognize the tremendous responsibility he had with the one talent because he ignored the talent that was given to him and was looking at the master. And he was condemned for it. What are our talents, dear friends? There is nobody here in this church, trust me, who does not have multiple talents. There is nobody in this church who does not have multiple talents. We need to ask ourselves, how are we using it for the edification of the Church of God? How are we using it for the building up of our parish of St. Mary's? How are we using it for the building up of our families and our communities? We are tremendously blessed because God continues to pour out his spiritual and physical gifts on us. God continues to pour out his talents on each and every one of us, knowing that he has given us a tremendous duty to carry his message of love everywhere we go to anyone who comes in contact with us. One of the things also that will make us not realize to the fullest our talents that God has given us is self-doubt. We celebrate the prophet Moses, right? But Moses was plagued with self-doubt. Remember the book of Exodus. The first time he was called, he made all manner of excuses why he could not go to liberate the people of Israel. Eventually, God twisted his arms. And when, even seeing all of the miracles that God worked, God said, I'm blessing the staff in your hands. Go to Egypt. And when Pharaoh and his magicians do whatever they do, use your staff to convince him that I sent you. Eventually, when they were liberated from Egypt and got to the Red Sea, the people were very angry. Were there no graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to die? And Moses turned crying to God, what am I to do? Now get this. God made a statement that is loaded. He said, why do you cry to me? Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And God is telling us the same thing. Each time we think that there is something going wrong, each time we are the ones God has equipped to solve a problem, God is asking us the question, why do you waste your time crying out to me when I have blessed you? And that was what he told Moses. Why cry to me? It's strange that God wouldn't want Moses to pray to him. But it's practical because he had already blessed Moses. Lift your staff, he said. Stretch it over the river, over the sea, and let it part, and the people of Israel will walk on dry land. The Lord is asking us in this church, dear friends, to lift the many staffs he has given us, the many talents he has blessed us with, the many gifts he has given us. God is saying, when you cry to me, remember that even before you cried out to me, I had already set you on the path to success. What are those things we think we can bring to this parish? The many different programs that we think we can give. We have already beautified the church. The sacristy is in there for any kind of program. Your humble servant is always ready and open to listen to any suggestions that will enhance the life of the parish. What are we waiting for? Let us not doubt ourselves. Because when Moses picked up himself, when he picked up the pride and the strength and courage that God had given him, we know what transpired. Today, we celebrate him as one of the greatest prophets of Israel. We can be the same. The greatest of the parish of St. Mary's Lindsay, if we believe in ourselves. Just as mothers always believe in themselves, those tremendous, tremendous creatures we call mothers in our midst. Fully blessed by God, well equipped for the life that they continue to give us. We celebrate mothers today, not to denigrate the fathers, but I'm sure if men were the ones going through the pain of childbirth, humanity would have got extinct a long time ago. because they are not going to repeat that anymore. But the mothers continue to give and give and give. And the mother never stops worrying because she is gifted with the love that the heart cannot contain. A mother continues to worry. Even when she's a great-grandmother, she's still thinking, oh, are they okay? Are you sure? Did they take their pills? Trust me, my mom still asks me if I went to see the doctor and all of that. Like she wants to run my calendar for me. But it's out of love, tremendous love. And God honors mothers. If we read the book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, chapter 3, verses 2, 4, and 9. Let us read those very carefully, because God tells us where he places the mothers. He asks us that whoever honors their mother is storing up treasure for themselves in heaven. Whoever does not honor the mother is drawing the wrath of God. And he's also admonishing mothers in a very careful way, because God says that a father's anger can tear a family apart. A mother's curse will destroy its foundation. Not just tearing it apart, it will destroy its foundation. That is how powerful mothers are. Please let us appreciate the mothers in our lives. God bless you all for what you do. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Before we take the creed, may I ask the mothers in the church to please stand for a special blessing. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord.